This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Strange bedfellows, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, finding himself agreeing with Elon Musk, the former head of Doge, calling the president's big, beautiful bill a, quote, disgusting abomination.
If even Elon Musk, who's been part of the whole process and is Trump's buddy, says the bill is bad, you can imagine how bad this bill is.
Schumer opposes the bill's budget cuts. Musk opposes the bill's increased spending. The White House sending Congress the first request to codify the Doge budget cuts, which would claw back over $9 billion in already approved spending. The president signing an executive order raising the tariffs on steel and aluminum imports to 50%. U.S. officials saying the wife and children of the suspect in the Colorado firebombing attack are now in ICE custody and set to be removed from the country. Israeli forces firing on people headed toward an aid distribution center in Gaza today. At least 27 people killed. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. With the Black Hawk Bridge that connects Wisconsin to Iowa closed indefinitely, DOT officials in Iowa and Wisconsin announced free water taxi services will begin on June 4th. Otherwise, people can cross the Mississippi River at La Crosse or Prairie du Chien. The 94-year-old bridge was closed on May 17th after a pier moved. Last year, the bridge was closed for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs. The DOT said it hasn't finalized any repair or reopening plans for the old bridge. A replacement bridge is scheduled to open in 2026. Gas prices fell this week locally and across Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices fell 7.1 cents over the last week for an average of $2.96 today. This is 1.5 cents higher than a month ago and over 36 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say while the rest of the nation has seen a gentle descent in prices, the Great Lakes region has seen notable declines after a minor refinery issue was resolved.
Here in La Crosse, the average price for gas has stayed just under the statewide average, currently sitting at about $2.96 per gallon. A proposed fee increase could affect La Crosse property owners later this year. The Stormwater Utility is proposing an increase of nearly $10 per month on an average bill to help pay for operating costs and capital projects. A second proposal would then add a 22% fee increase for January 1st and annual 3% increases to account for inflation for the 3 years after that. The proposals passed the Board of Public Works Monday. If they pass the Finance and Personnel Committee Thursday, they would then go to the full Common Council next week. In addition to expected rain showers that will bring a half inch to an inch of rain across the Cooley region before midnight, air quality is a concern due to smoke from Canadian wildfires. Once the rain clears out overnight, we'll be back to sunny skies and highs in the mid-70s Wednesday. There are chances of scattered showers and storms through the weekend, but highs will stay in the 70s for the next several days. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers face the Reds again tonight at Great American Ballpark. The crew won their eighth game in a row last night, 3-2 over Cincinnati. A home run by Christian Yelich and good pitching from Aaron Savalier and the bullpen. Brewers manager Pat Murphy, who's been dealing with a bad head cold on this road trip.
No question. Savalier did, he responded very well after the first inning and made big pitches in the second inning, settled in the third, fourth, and fifth, and very important. And then Rob Z continues to do the job. Koenig, Uribe, and McGill, very good again.
NFL at the Packers OTAs, head coach Matt LaFleur says, take a close look at defensive end Edgerrin Cooper coming back in his second season, 10 pounds heavier.
He's certainly, his body looks different. I don't know if you guys could tell, but he's like 240 pounds right now. And I think there was a time when we came back last year where he was like 220.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers around this evening, a cloudy sky overnight with areas of smoke, lows in the low 50s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, highs upper 70s. Increasing clouds Thursday, another chance of showers. Highs upper 70s. It's 60 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you with me on this Tuesday night as we start Act Two here on the show. So our first hour was packed with infotainment, folks. We talked about the 9 best cities in Wisconsin, supposedly because they are the only 9 mentioned in U.S. News and World Report's top 250 list. Conrad, by the way, in case you were curious, the number one city, it only took me 12 and a half hours to scroll through this list, Johns Creek, Georgia.
Huh.
How proud John must be, who probably isn't around to see the blooming of his discovered city, but it's the number one city in the entire country, which is exciting for them. Carmel, Indiana is number 2. So I think I have a guest idea, because we have to fill in somebody tomorrow. My friend Dave lives there, so I think we can get Dave on. He's a great comedian. Carmel, I want to say that's where David Letterman's from. But either way, our question of the night, folks, given the inspiration of the Wisconsin city list, the top 9, what is your favorite Wisconsin city, excluding the one you live in? You cannot vote for the city you live in. But what is your favorite secondary city here in Wisconsin? Let us know at 855-752-4842, and or you can text us on the app or the stream. Coming up at 7:20, some paranormal talk with paranormal investigator and Mino and the Mayor producer Todd Michaels. He'll be here. We're going to talk about lake monsters and vampires, and Todd might give us a good Gettysburg ghost story, which I didn't even know those existed. So we will do all that, and we will get back to our guest here, Rob Thomas, in just a second. We also talked about, do you call back a wrong number? I'm amazed that people do this. So maybe I'll ask Rob that when we come back. Right now, if you're not playing our promotion here at Civic Media, our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, you really need to, folks. All you have to do is download the Civic Media app. Very easy. And then when you hear a keyword at the top of the hour, text in that keyword and you are eligible to win prizes every hour that you play. From $100 in your pocket to Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. That's each hour. 2 great prizes hourly, and you automatically enroll yourself for the grand prize drawings, which are both 2 amazing trips, one to Door County, Wisconsin, and one to Baraboo, Wisconsin. Beautiful Baraboo down in southern Wisconsin. And gas money is included, so if that was a deal breaker for you, forget about it. You're in. You got to play. 4 p.m., 2 p.m., 11 a.m., and 7 a.m. See what I did there? Kind of went backwards.
Yeah.
Just in case there are any people listening that get confused easily. It started yesterday. It runs through June 13th. It's a great contest. And good luck, everybody. Hope you play. Hope you win. And thanks for listening. So right now we're going to get back to our guest, Rob Thomas. Rob, have you ever had anyone call you or have you ever called anyone and it was the wrong number and they call you back?
I'm trying to understand what this is. So you have a wrong number.
I called somebody. Correct. I called someone, and I realized it was a wrong number. So I hung up after about three or four rings. They called me back. Hi, I just missed a call from this number. Like, they're like soliciting phone calls, which most of us are trying to avoid at all costs.
I think I've done that on occasion if it's a hang up. Like, but what I don't understand is if somebody goes, oh, I'm sorry, wrong number, and then you call them back, like, did you feel like you had a connection with them and you wanted to explore?
That's what I don't understand.
I don't know. There's some chemistry there. I don't know.
I feel like.
But in general, if, you know, the less phone calls I have to deal with, the better.
Correct. And that's what I was saying. Like, I feel like people are bored. Hey, who is this? What'd you need? You know, I don't think anybody's that outgoing. Okay. Right before we did the news, Rob, you were about to give us your favorite Mission Impossible film of the franchise. I think that was a great, what they call in radio, teaser. So we would love to know what your, love to know.
I appreciate the time to think about my answer.
Sure.
So I would definitely say the sixth movie,
really?
Fallout, is my favorite. Yeah, I watched that so many times. I used to watch it on the elliptical, and then at the end of you could basically review the movie by my little EKG and like, oh, that's the car chase. And when it's way up here, and oh, that's when he's in the helicopter. That's way up there. You know, it's like
you're getting personal calls from Peloton. Hey, will you crush that workout? What were you?
Are you okay? Are you okay?
That's great.
Since here you're 56, you shouldn't be in that zone.
I'll have to give that a rewatch. I watched a lot of Seven leading up to this. I've watched a lot of Three.
Good.
Three is to me when the series really started crushing. Like when J.J. Abrams got involved and it was just this like nonstop movie, that's when I thought they just started escalating. But I got to give Six another watch.
Yeah, I agree. One is a lot of fun. It's a different kind of movie, I think. It's 30 years old at this point.
Right.
Two is the one I think that nobody really likes. It's sort of a... Yeah, clunker. And four and five are fantastic as well. Four is the one where he's hanging off the building in Dubai, which is still one of the greatest stunts I've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's funny, like you mentioned when he broke his ankle, anybody who does not like Tom Cruise needs to watch that because I've seen internet videos on it when he jumps. I mean, I know he had a cable on him, but he was jumping. It looked like 30 feet building to building.
Yep.
And that's when he broke his ankle and he kept going in the scene. I mean, that's remarkable.
I know. He got out of the shot because he knew, like, I'm not going to be doing this for 6 months while my ankle heals. I better get it done now. So, no, it's, I mean, and the one, I mean, this movie, Final Reckoning, him and the biplane, like, that's insane. That's truly insane. Yeah.
I don't even know how they did it. He must have just, how real was that? I don't want to sound like a rube. I mean, I've been part of movies, but I don't know how they did that.
I've been watching a little bits of behind the scenes clips coming out online. And I mean, a lot of it seems real. I mean, I think there was a pilot they kind of digitally erased when he's out on the wing. So it's not like he's in a out of control plane, but I think they shot it for like 4.5 months, just bits every day. And, you know, he's hanging upside. It's hanging upside. It's
unbelievable.
He needs to stop.
Sorry. 62. Yeah, exactly.
62. He needs to stop. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. All right. So you did this great piece at CityCast Madison. And it's funny because I'm talking about how much I love Madison and it's been the number one city in America, like 7 out of the last 10 years, whatever it is. And you guys, your group there at CityCast Madison did a podcast talking about the city's toxic traits, which I don't often associate with such a great town, but you guys did not hold back. Can you tell us what the inspiration for that was and where people can find it?
Well, I think like any town you live in, you have these gripes, you know, even a seemingly perfect town like Madison, that like things that bug you. And there's something about sort of the ideal of Madison that bugs me even more when things happen. So yeah, we had we did a podcast where we all talked about our, you know, the things that bug us, and some are really big, like, you know, the city's racial inequities or the housing problem. And some are really little, like, you know, pedestrians, when they come to a crossing, don't press the button, like the walk button. And so it's like, you know, there's a lot of that I noticed because we also asked readers and listeners to come up with their toxic traits and the interactions between pedestrians, bikers, and cars came up a lot, it seemed like. Like pedestrians not crossing the street, drivers not pulling over for emergency vehicles, which is also a real annoying thing.
Wow, really? Yeah, that is annoying. I didn't realize that was an issue there.
Yeah, and then the whole thing on the bike pass where somebody doesn't say on your left when they pass you.
Okay.
But then, like, sometimes if you say on your left, then the people you pass will, like, freak out because they're so shocked. They're so caught off guard by somebody passing them. So it's like there's no win there.
Right.
It was a super fun project we did. And we did. I wrote an article that sort of sums up the listener gripes, and we had the podcast. And we could easily do another one, I think, with Madison's Toxic Traits.
My guest is Rob Thomas. He is a Madison-based film critic. We're talking about an article that he wrote in CityCast Madison, where he is the editor, newsletter editor, about Madison's Toxic Traits. I have to say I'm in lockstep with KDD. I don't know her, but her gripe was, why isn't there a train from Milwaukee to Madison? Why is the Amtrak 30 miles from Madison?
Yeah, it's a good question. And
I mean, honestly,
the previous governor might have the answer to that question, why there's not ice rail between Milwaukee and Madison.
Yeah.
But that is sort of nuts. Yeah.
We don't want high speed rail. Take your federal money and get out of here. That's a policy? Come on. I would love to have a train between Madison and Milwaukee.
I know, it'd be so great.
But she complained there were not enough public museums there, which I didn't realize. I thought Madison had great museums.
I thought so too. Yeah, that one surprised me a little bit. I think she had another really good point, which is that Madison does not take advantage of its lakes. A lot of the lakefront property is private, so there's very few restaurants or, you know, public parks. I know they're going to try and redevelop some of the lakefront, but I think that aside from the terrace, maybe the Edgewater, there is not enough places to gather on the lakefront.
That was interesting.
Strange.
Before we let you go, Rob, you also wrote a recent piece about all these new restaurants in Madison. Is that an anomaly, or are that many restaurants opening in Madison all the time? That's insane.
I it was slow for a little bit at the beginning of the year, and then it just seems like every day there's a new one being announced, a new one opening, new one closing, and then immediately they know what restaurant's coming in to take its place.
Wow.
It's just a very... you know, not a toxic trait. It's a very vibrant food scene. Yeah, there's lots to see.
And then the other thing I saw was that you had a donut place. You did a thing where Madison is upping its donut game, which I found funny. I didn't know that real. Or I didn't realize that needed to be done. But there's a place in Atwood you like. But you also did a piece on best indie venues, and there are like three of them in Atwood. What is happening? I mean, I know Atwood's a cool neighborhood, but like, man, is everything happening in Atwood these days?
It seems like it. On our podcast today, we were talking to the owner of this new Atwood Music Hall, which is such a cool space. And he also, Live Nation owns a lot of the venues in town, but there seems to be a lot of these grassroots indie venues coming up that like, you know, prioritize local music and bands that could, you know, are just starting out. So it's really great. It's really healthy for our music scene, I think.
Well, enjoy your fair city tonight, Rob. Always fun to catch up with you, buddy, and talk movies and whatever else you guys are writing about there. Keep up the great work. And thanks so much for your time tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Good talking to you.
Anytime. All right, Rob Thomas, check out his work at CityCast Madison, or you can follow him on his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas. Do you know why that is his name, Conrad?
Well, there is another Rob Thomas out there.
There is, and he's not nearly as cool. He's probably a little richer, but...
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
All right, our question of the night, you can still get in on the fun, folks, is what is your favorite Wisconsin city, excluding the one you live in? We've got Sydney from Oregon says, oh, did you see that? Are my levels good?
Yeah.
I love when listeners help out. Thank you, Sydney, for the thing about my mic, but I think we're good now. I hope so. And then we've got, let's see here, I got to catch up on these. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. Tyler, never apologize. I love your cheekiness. That's what makes you unique as a texter. It's awesome. He says, I'm sorry, Pete and Conrad, I wasn't thinking. I even think that's sarcastic, though. That's how well I know Tyler now. Conrad's mom checks in and says, Managua can walk anywhere you want to go. And the views are beautiful. They absolutely are. That is a great text, Paula. Thank you. We will read Carol's after the break. Great stuff, Carol. We'll read that. And we've got one from Bridget we'll get to, too, after a very short break here. And then we are going to bring in our pal Todd Michaels for some Lake Monster and vampire talk here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/home loans.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's too many of you to cry. Brother, brother, brother.
Oh, man.
There's far too many of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just added Todd Allbaugh to the show tomorrow night. How exciting is that?
That is very exciting.
Very exciting. When will he be on, Conrad? 720?
720, yes.
Fantastic. We're going to give Todd a quiz. Let's just see how smart our pal Todd Allbaugh is. Our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite Wisconsin city that you don't call home? You have to take out of the equation your city and tell us your favorite Wisconsin city. Bridget from the 818 says, Oshkosh. I have good childhood memories, love the old houses, the university, the history, the natural beauty, and the restaurant Leon's. I've been to Leon's. That's good. They have what they call a juice burger, which is basically a sloppy Joe, but it's delicious. We will get to the rest of your texts, as promised, very soon. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He produces the Mino and the Mayor show here on WGBW and WISS every morning with, of course, John Mino and Jim Schmidt. And he is also, on the side, a paranormal investigator and a friend of Nightlight. Todd Michaels joins us now. Hey, buddy.
How are you, Pete?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
You mentioned Leon's. I'm literally a half block away from Leon's. I live right there.
Oh.
So it's difficult to be this close and not be there every day.
You know, those juice burgers they're so good, but they're so piping hot. It takes like a day and a half before you can eat them. They're so fresh and but oh my gosh, are they good. Yeah, I love that.
It's all about the turtle sundaes for me, period. I don't need to have regular food. I don't need burgers. I don't need any kind of sides. I just need a large turtle sundae. Then I'm done.
That's your calorie intake for the day, too. Probably put you over
for the week. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Todd, congrats are in order. Your city, Oshkosh, this is very exciting, was ranked out of 250 places to live. This came out last week. You may have already heard this, but Oshkosh came in 114th. Not too shabby.
It's not bad. I had this conversation with someone here. I was doing an interview earlier today in our Oshkosh studios at WISS, and somebody just joined the Discover Oshkosh team as their marketing director, or marketing coordinator, I should say. She grew up in Appleton, went to school at UW Oshkosh. She left. She was a Wienermobile driver for a while. So we had some great conversations about that. I wanted to learn like some of the skills you got to have to pull that off. But she came back to Oshkosh because she loves it so much. And I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh because it's a very underrated city.
Agreed.
And if you've never been, you've got to check it out. There are events all summer long here.
My wife, her mother grew up there and she went to school there. So when we started dating at the end of college, we did a long distance thing and I would go up there to visit her from Chicago. So I spent quite a bit of time there. And at that age in the bars, there was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore, but it was called Vitello's. It was an Italian joint.
Yeah.
It's not there, right? I mean, I thought I haven't been to Oshkosh in a long time.
No, do you mean Vitali's or Fratello's?
I think it's Vitali's.
Yeah, Vitali's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund, you know?
Is that a calzone in your cummerbund? Or are you just happy to be at the dance? Would you like to slow dance? All right, so...
So I'm sitting there slow dancing and like eating my leftovers at the same time.
What if you couldn't live in Oshkosh though, Todd, where would you go in our fair state? So many nice cities.
I have to say Madison's a really cool city, but I also love La Crosse is an awesome,
beautiful
city. You know, school out there and you're right on the river and just natural beauty out there left and right. So I think between Madison, La Crosse and Oshkosh, it's the best of all three worlds.
That's a great answer. Okay, so I want to get into lake monsters and vampires, but you texted me a little bit ago saying you're going to Gettysburg. We only have a couple minutes before break, so I'll save those other topics for after the news. But why is Gettysburg haunted, Todd? Or what have you heard?
Well, I mean, you had the big battles out there, right, with the Civil War and all that kind of stuff.
What?
There's some really? I mean, I've never been there. This will be the first time that I've gone and actually been able to vacation and also do a little investigating. But from what I've seen and what I've heard from people that I know and also watching other investigators, there's just crazy amounts of activity there.
Wow.
And one of the cool things that I've seen actually kind of played out in some investigations was they've done investigations in one area and had a interaction with some sort of entity or energy, and then went to another location down the street, across town, whatever, and had the same interaction with what seemed to be the same entity or energy, meaning that energy can move and follow you throughout that area. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you, and so you said you're going for vacation, but are you going to do some investigating while you're there? That's a vacation for you, right?
Absolutely. I'm going to do that. I'm going to shut off all the electrical appliances, like the cell phones and other stuff too. But I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, we're going to be also recording a season of podcasts while we're out there actually investigating and stuff like that. So really looking forward to the trip. First of all, I can't say anything more than just being really excited that I'll be away from Jim and John for at least a week. And the rest of you bozos, I'm just going to go have some fun, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it's a well-deserved break for you, buddy. I'm excited for you. Are war places common, Todd, to have? Because of all the battles and stuff, I would imagine that's a hotbed of activity.
I mean, I think so. And you know, people will say, well, there's all that death there and all that. Certainly that's the case, but just think of all the energy it took to fight each other and trying to save lives. They would take old homes and turn them into makeshift hospitals and stuff like that. And I just think the amount of energy that went into fighting a cause probably kept a lot of that energy around. I actually heard some audio from a friend of mine. She was just out recording and out in the middle of nowhere, and she caught a battle cry on her audio. which when she played it for me, I'm like, what is that? That sounds like something from an old movie. And so we actually looked it up and it seemed like it was actually a battle cry.
That is so cool. All right. Well, we will have more with Todd Michaels, our pal, paranormal investigator, after a very short break. Don't go anywhere, folks. We got a lot of show left. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Strange bedfellows, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, finding himself agreeing with Elon Musk, the former head of Doge, calling the president's big, beautiful bill a, quote, disgusting abomination.
If even Elon Musk, who's been part of the whole process and is Trump's buddy, says the bill is bad, you can imagine how bad this bill is.
Schumer opposes the bill's budget cuts. Musk opposes the bill's increased spending. The White House sending Congress the first request to codify the Doge budget cuts, which would claw back over $9 billion in already approved spending. The president signing an executive order raising the tariffs on steel and aluminum imports to 50%. U.S. officials saying the wife and children of the suspect in the Colorado firebombing attack are now in ICE custody and said to be removed from the country. Israeli forces firing on people headed toward an aid distribution center in Gaza today. At least 27 people killed. This is ABC News.
Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers face the Reds again tonight at Great American Ballpark. The crew won their eighth game in a row last night, 3-2 over Cincinnati. A home run by Christian Yelich and good pitching from Aaron Savalier and the bullpen. Brewers manager Pat Murphy, who's been dealing with a bad head cold on this road trip.
No question. Savali did, he responded very well after the first inning and made big pitches in the second inning and settled in the third, fourth, and fifth, and very important. And then Rob Z continues to do the job. Koenig, Uribe, and McGill, very good again.
NFL at the Packers OTAs, head coach Matt LaFleur says, take a close look at defensive end Edgerrin Cooper coming back in his second season, 10 pounds heavier.
He's certainly, his body looks different. I don't know if you guys could tell, but he's like 240 pounds right now. And I think there was a time when we came back last year where he was like 220.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Clint Eastwood is tired of sequels, franchises, and remakes. Join the club, bruh. The four-time Oscar winner is a spry 95 years old and says he misses the days when writers would hole up in a bungalow on a studio lot and churn out movies like Casablanca. The 95-year-old star of In the Line of Fire and the director of Juror No. 2 says he plans on working for a long time. Eastwood says he'll work as long as he can still learn something or until he is truly senile. 95, a sense of humor, still making movies, and he can probably take you. Here's one of Pete's picks. If you like good old-fashioned manhunts, check out American Manhunt, The Search for Osama Bin Laden. At first, I had no desire to relive 9/11, but watching it with my kids was an experience. The American Manhunt series, not to be confused with Manhunt, The Search for America's Most Gorgeous Male Model, includes two other mini-docs, The Search for O.J. Simpson and the Boston Marathon Bombing. All the series can be watched good old-fashioned binge-style on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers around this evening, a cloudy sky overnight with areas of smoke, lows in the low 50s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, highs upper 70s. Increasing clouds Thursday, another chance of showers. Highs upper 70s. It's 60 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees, I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow will be on the show, along with Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. We'll talk politics, Packers, and life. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Gentlemen, my name is Rich LoCascio. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. I would like to introduce to you the Pine Tree Mauler from Marinette, Wisconsin. He is Pete Schwabe!
Thank you, Rich LoCascio. Dynamite stuff. Hey, thanks for being here tonight, folks. We are barreling through a Tuesday night that feels like a Thursday night. With your help. So thanks for being here and all your texts and all kinds of fun. Did we lose Carol's texts, Conrad? What happened to those? Did she pull them? Can people pull their texts?
I don't think so.
They're there. Yeah. Okay. Carol says, in answer to our question, what is your favorite Wisconsin city that you don't live in? Carol says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I live in Madison now. I went to college in Eau Claire, lived in Wausau for a couple of years. My aunt and uncle lived in La Crosse and love Eagle River and Rhinelander, too. Bayfield is wonderful, Door County vibe, but fewer tourists, Minnesota license plates instead of Illinois. I'd rather go to Bayfield than Door County. Carol unloaded on that text. That's awesome. Thank you, Carol. And then Nick from Marshall says, love Dane County, especially the Madison and Sun Prairie area. Other than that, I kind of like the Oshkosh and Appleton area. People love their state. What are you going to do? We also don't like to miss a text here on Nightlight. And last night, our question was, what is your favorite game show? And our pal, Rich LoCascio, who just intro'd me there, said, Press Your Luck, which I barely remember. I remember the title. Todd, do you remember Press Your Luck?
My gosh, are you kidding me? This is how much I love Press Your Luck. I got to find it. But and maybe you can't even hear this, but I can try.
Okay.
Let's see. Can you hear that?
Yes,
right?
I do.
No whammies, no whammies, and stop.
You have that at the ready?
Well, yeah, I'm a radio geek, and I happen to like game shows, so I got a lot of stuff. I've got the theme from Pyramid.
Whoa.
I got everything.
That Press Your Luck, I don't really go here very often on this show, but that would be great music. That would complement an orgasm really well, I think. But can we hear that one more time, Todd?
All right, hang on.
Okay, honey.
All right. No whammies, no whammies, and stop.
Well, not that's kind of a you know, kind of an anticlimactic ending. It would have to be a whammy.
Do you know the whole story behind that game show? What happened with it?
No, I don't.
Well, I know we were talking about spooky stuff tonight, but a guy was sitting at home watching the show for weeks and weeks. He was unemployed. I can't remember the guy's name, but he figured out that the little lights went in a certain sequence. And when it would always land on one specific square, there was always $1,000 or $3,000 in a spin. And he figured out what that was. He ran the entire table for an entire episode. Wow. And the producers are sitting back going, oh my God, he figured this out. And they had to cancel the show because of this one guy.
That is spectacular.
Yeah.
I love that. I wish I had that capability.
I wish I had any capability.
I know. I'd love to, just something I could monetize. I don't care what it is.
Right.
Todd Michaels is here, folks. He's the Mino and the Mayor producer in the morning here at WGBW and WISS. He joins us periodically to talk about fun paranormal stuff because that is his side hustle. He is a paranormal PI. And Todd, I'd like to get into lake monsters, but also vampires. So I don't know, you have a theory about vampires I'm more interested to hear. So why don't we start there just in case we run out of time or something? I would love to hear your thoughts in general on vampires, and then you do as much of a deep dive as you want. I'd love to hear your theory as to why, I think you said why they might be real or could be.
I think they might be. Now, first of all, you saw Sinners, is that right?
I did, yeah.
And you liked it?
Loved it.
What was so good about it?
Well, I mean, what was great about it was not necessarily that it was a vampire movie. It was just great movie making. It was like Ryan Coogler is an incredible filmmaker. The music, the costumes, it was a period piece. And Michael B. Jordan played twins, Smoke and Stack. I love the ties to the Chicago mob. Then they go back down south with stolen mob stuff to set up a gin joint in the country. Everything about it was just cool. And then the vampires come in and they had to adhere to all these rules. And I wanted to ask you about that too, the rules that vampires have to follow. But I just thought it was great, a great movie top to bottom.
So what are some of the rules that they had to follow? Do you remember?
Yeah, the big one is they had to be invited in, like to the gin joint. You know, I know typically vampires don't like daylight. Depending what the movie is, sometimes they burn alive if they're out. Other times they just have burns. In this particular film, there were three people that had burns. So they obviously were exposed to some sunlight, but that was one of them. And then the stake through the heart, I think, was in play. Garlic, kind of the basics. But I had forgotten about the one where vampires had to be invited in and they couldn't just go in.
Yeah, I do like vampires. Excuse me. I'm not sure. You know, I can't sit here and say I believe in them. But I do think that there's a lot of lore behind it. And I'm also a firm believer that we as humans can only imagine bad things that are possibilities. So that's kind of like my entry into vampires. I've had a long time interest in them since I was little. Tell you a little bit about my mom. She would let us watch the spookiest vampire movies. And like, I was like 4 or 5, right? Stuff your mom shouldn't let you do. And then I know one of my sisters is watching tonight. We would lay up all night scared half to death. I didn't sleep between the ages of like 7 and 15 because I was certain that something was going to come get me. But I've had this interest in vampires for a long, long time. And I have this inkling that there may be some truth to it. And maybe it's just a romantic kind of view of what it would be like to be, you know, to live forever in the darkness, on the dark side, all that kind of stuff. But there certainly are plenty of stories throughout the ages about vampires and all that kind of stuff. So pretty interesting topic for me.
Very cool. And that was something in Sinners too. In fact, and I've said this before on the show, but if you do go see Sinners, you have to stay through the credits to really see the last scene. I don't know why they did that. It was a strange choice in my opinion, but they show you scenes of blues music. The story kind of goes up to Chicago again, and there's blues music. And then there's a scene, and one of the vampires said that day, talking about the final scene in the regular part of the movie before the credits, he said, "That day was the best day of my life and the last time I saw the sun." And it was just as great. And then they walk out of the joint and it was so, just stuff you forget about vampires. Like whoever created that entire, not genre, but their existence or fantasized about it, really created a really kind of a fascinating creature, I guess.
And there are certainly some over-the-top bad vampire movies out there.
Yeah.
Even Interview with a Vampire isn't... I think the book is good. I'm not sure that Tom Cruise was the right choice for Lestat. But that was an interesting movie. Mm-hmm. My favorite, Salem's Lot. Okay. Oh, like the original back with David Soul from Starsky and Hutch. Remember that?
Right. Wow.
That was a made for TV like miniseries. But when the Glick boys become vampires and they're floating outside the window, right? They come up to the window and they're scratching on the window.
Oh, man.
There's nothing creepier than right. that right there.
Right.
Open up. I'm here.
That was in Salem's Lot.
That was Salem's Lot, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to rewatch that. I'll tell you, even it was kind of a, I think it's Anne Rice that did the Twilight, or was that? No, that was Interview with a Vampire.
She did Interview, yep.
But Twilight had some cool stuff about it, I thought. I liked how they just kind of assimilated into the high schools and they were part of the population. Like that I found fascinating.
It was, Twilight was the One Tree Hill of vampire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Remember all those teenage angst TV shows that were on? That's kind of where they, I think they kind of spent off with Twilight.
That's excellent. My guest is Todd Michaels. He produces the Mino and the Mayor show here at WGBW and WISS every morning. And he joins us periodically to talk about the paranormal, because he's a paranormal investigator. And it's always fun to talk to you about this stuff, Todd. Of all the myths, or whatever you want to call them, ghosts, vampires, werewolves, lake monsters, which we'll segue to, what do you think is most likely of those things to be real or exist?
Well, did you throw ghosts in that mix?
I did.
Yeah. I think that those are most likely to exist. Only because I've actually run into some of that kind of stuff. So I've actually had experience with it. I've not had experience with lake monsters or anything like that. And I've not, you know, knock on wood, run into a vampire. So for me, it would definitely be the ghost or paranormal side when it comes to the afterlife.
I don't disagree with you not knowing a fraction of what you know about that, but I would like to add lake monsters, because I feel like, and not just lake monsters, but sea creatures, like the seas are so vast, 7/10 of the earth, so deep. I know there's stuff we haven't really explored down there. I feel like that's where most likely, at least out of the things I just mentioned, something could be alive that we haven't discovered yet, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And even some stuff that we do know that exists, like sturgeon, right? Those things are massively huge in some cases. I was going over some of the information that you and I shared with each other. And Lake Winnebago here in Oshkosh has its own monster from the past. 1889, the capture of a large sea lion. Apparently it gotten out during an exotic animal tour. And to me, I think you're right, because it's kind of like outer space. We've gone there to a certain extent, but there's certain areas that we cannot get to. And so we only know what we can actually experience. So the possibilities of things in the water, in the sky, are probably, you know, mind blowing if we ever actually found out what was all there.
Right. I don't know. I feel like I know I've mentioned this before on the show. I don't know if it was with you or someone else or a different guest. But speaking of underwater creatures, the Greenland shark is something I didn't even know existed until about a year and a half ago. They live to be 500 years old.
Good Lord.
And there was a picture of one on, you know, social media somewhere, and it looked beat to hell. This thing was like, they move like less than a mile an hour. They live for 500 years. There are Greenland sharks, you know, swimming very slowly, that were around before George Washington was born. That to me is an absolute phenomenon.
I wonder what they think of where our country is now, knowing George Washington back in the day and, you know, having lived through the Civil War and all like that. I would just wonder what the sharks of Greenland actually think.
That sounds like a paranormal investigation, I think, that needs to be.
I'm out there with a microphone doing an investigation.
Using sonar to hear what the shark says.
That's right.
So there's a great, where was it? Oh, the Lake Winnebago water monster.
Yeah.
This came out in 2020 in the Oshkosh Northwestern and explained that the Lake Winnebago creature sightings originated with stories from the Ho-Chunk people. And apparently one was captured in 1889. That's the one you're talking about. I'm sorry. The large sea lion.
The large sea lion. Okay. Yeah.
So I have another one here from, is it Rocky? No, Rocky the Lake Monster. I thought there were two in, are we out of time, Conrad?
We got under a minute now.
Don't you know I'm talking about Tigerland sharks?
I'm sorry.
You're thinking of Rocky and Rock Lake, right?
Rocky and Rock Lake. That's in Lake Geneva, though. What do you know about that, Todd?
Just again, it's some sort of creature that apparently was flipping over boats and stuff like that and bringing people under the water. I mean, what else could that be other than like just us drinking too much in Wisconsin and losing our balance in the canoe and having to come up with a story of why you fell in, you know?
I'm not ruling that out. All right, we'll have a couple more minutes with Todd when we come back after a very short break. Don't go anywhere, but anybody. We're going to wrap this up next. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is pollinator month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The ecosystem mission area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and has and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We are doing Tuesday some serious justice here today, folks. Great to have you with me. We have a great show tomorrow night as well. Chicago-based stand-up comedian Brian Hicks will be here, and our pal Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show here on Civic Media. We're going to give Todd a quiz. We haven't figured out exactly what that quiz will be, but it's going to be a doozy, folks, so you won't want to miss that. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our pal Todd Michaels, who is here. Todd is a paranormal investigator help me, Todd. I am breaking down here.
Are you okay?
Very exhausted.
Are you okay?
No, I'm tired. I don't know what was going on in the hotel room next to mine last night, but it was
they were playing Press Your Luck is what was going on.
But it didn't end with a wah wah wah. I'll tell you that.
That's right.
They knew what they were doing. So anyway, Todd is the producer of Mino and the Mayor. So, all right, Todd, so before we let you go, these two lake monsters were cool, and they're both in the Madison Lakes. There was one in Mendota and one in Monona.
Yeah.
Sea serpent-type things. And that I can believe. They look like long snakes, right? That's believable.
I would think, I mean, there's got to be some sort of eels and stuff like that in those lakes. I just think it's interesting that the city of Madison is smack dab in the middle of the two lakes, and they have these sea monsters on either side. That is interesting.
That is interesting. And maybe they could cross. There's got to be some kind of tunnel in there or something. But one of them was white with green spots. So that might you know, that might be sort of what you were saying, people seeing things after a few pops or something.
Right.
But anyway, good stuff. So you'll have to tell us when you come back. We would love to have you on after you get back from Gettysburg and see what you found out there. That sounds absolutely fascinating.
I'm really excited about it. I love history. I've never been there. It seems ridiculous to me, but going to take the 16-hour drive out to Pennsylvania and see what we can find. I have to tell you something. Yeah. Being a guest on your show goes way too fast.
Oh.
Being a producer, and Conrad probably knows this, you sit through those segments and you're like, when is this done? And then when I'm on the show with you, it goes so quickly. I couldn't even believe that the show's done already.
Conrad checks his watch 14 times per minute. Just how much time do we have left here? And here you are saying, exactly. you're saying that you're enjoying yourself.
So I'm having a great
happy
time.
Happy about that, Todd. Well, you're always fun, buddy. I hope you have a great vacation and keep up the great work in the morning here with the guys. And just have a great night. So much fun as always.
You too. See you, Pete.
Thanks, Todd.
See you, Conrad.
Man, the beard is coming in great again. Oh, he's still on. I'm not saying anything bad about you. I meant to mention that at the top of the show, though. I didn't know if you were going to bring it back or not, to be honest with you.
I've just been kind of lazy and haven't been trimming the hair or the beard. But okay. Yeah, this is like 2 weeks.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Wow. That's impressive.
You should see my back. You should
see
my back.
Did you go through puberty at like 7? What the hell's going on?
I'm still going through it.
I'm looking forward to mine. All right. Now you got to get out of here. Thanks so much, Todd. Have a great night. All right. Thank you to Todd Michaels. Thank you to Rob Thomas and all your texts and calls. Always fun here at Nightlight, folks. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow. What do we got Steady Eddie text we got.
Yes,
get
we
to.
Do. I was just about
How
to
do you
say.
Like that?
Yeah.
How dare I almost close the show before we get to a Steady Eddie
with
text.
4 minutes left.
Yeah, we're a little, boy, I was off before too. I got cut off. I'm not with it. Steady Eddie says, Pete, favorite city in Wisconsin? The Sun Prairie of 65 years ago. It's where I grew up. Looking back, it was like growing up in a Norman Rockwell painting. Its population is much bigger now, around 35,000. It's still a good place to live, but unfortunately, I think it has lost a lot of its small-town charm. I think he's right. I think it's more like a suburb right now. Nice place to live still, though. He says, I still get good vibrations when I go back to visit Sun Prairie, but it just ain't the same. Pete, you mentioned Des Plaines, Illinois. 2 years ago, I spent a week there one night. Steady Eddie getting in a little jab at Des Plaines. Steady Eddie hits all the big spots.
I spent a week there one night.
Yeah, I think he's saying... Well, that would be he was bored. No, he was saying he packed a lot of stuff into one night. That typically means like you really did it upright.
Okay.
And if you say like, I spent a day there 1 month, it's like the comic that says, folks, I've got 5 minutes of material and I'm going to pack it all into a 45-minute set.
Okay. Kind of yeah, thing. I get it. Nice text, Steady Eddie.
Exactly. Thank you for all your texts and calls as usual. Do we have time for Dana Carvey now?
It'll cut it close.
Let's squeeze it. Well, yeah. Is it a minute? I don't want to be rushed.
Why don't no? We should. How about the second segment tomorrow? We bring that in full force.
All right, we got to play that other one too. And tomorrow night we have to figure out a quiz for Todd. Maybe we give him a Wisconsin City quiz. He's lived in a lot of different places. Todd was in politics. I know he worked for Dale Schultz, a Republican. Congressman or assemblyman here in Wisconsin.
I mean, he's been all over Wisconsin too.
He
so
has.
There's always
so he might know
a geography those, quiz in there.
That's true too. We could do that too. We'll figure something out. Vicky on the stream says, "Great show, thank you, Vicky." How did she do that, Conrad? That's kind of a cool little graphic.
Oh, that's me.
Are you? Oh, you did. How did you do that? Is that like AI?
Everything's AI with you now.
I know. You put a poster of a sea serpent.
You know, it's Nessie.
Nessie looks like a stick in the water. And I'm not saying Nessie doesn't exist, but it's basically Nessie looks like kind of a harmless, almost friendly creature. And you put this Jurassic Park thing that looks like it wants to bite you in half.
Well, did you see what I put under it? I said I thought he was more of a gentle creature.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we got a lot more coming up tomorrow night, folks. It'll be fun. Thank you to Todd Michaels. Thank you to Rob Thomas. Thank you for all your texts and calls. Another wonderful night here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, and I couldn't have done it without you folks. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabe saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
Take it to your best friend's house. Mama made, we're making out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, take me to your best friend's house. I loved you later.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
News. I'm Dave Packer. Mohammed Suleiman accused of firebombing a Jewish rally in Boulder, Colorado, being held on $10 million bond.
Federal officials say Suleiman is an Egyptian national in the country illegally after overstaying his tourist visa.
Officials say he showed no remorse, allegedly admitting he would not forgive himself if he did not do it.
His wife and five children taken into custody by ICE, now being processed for expedited deportation.
ABC's Trevor Ault in Boulder. 50% tariffs on steel and aluminum set to start tomorrow. President Trump signing the executive order this afternoon. Elon Musk now slamming President Trump's legislative agenda on X, quote, calling the spending bill a disgusting abomination. Just 3 days into Pride Month, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has ordered the Navy to strike the name of pioneering gay rights activist Harvey Milk from one of its ships. A defense official said the timing of the decision was intentional. This is